B2, number 13A.
And then we come again down to science, Christianity as science, to 1st, 2nd and 3rd John. And when one reads those three epistles, all three are laid out in the four. All three. And they are all showing that man is a calculus of ideas. A man is just a calculus of ideas. And that is the highest sense of the perfection of man. That we just acknowledge ourselves as a calculus of ideas. Very, very beautiful. Very beautiful. But let's remember, you see, that this third column of Christianity is not the first column. That this is the outcome of the Christ idea. And the Christ idea is always the idea of God, of the world. Therefore, in the measure as our consciousness acquaints ourselves with the word epistles, then with the Christ epistle, then in a natural way we've come to the conclusion in Colossians that therefore man must be perfect. And that therefore in 1 Thessalonians, this vista will change us. And that if we are true to that idea in 2 Thessalonians, that it will overcome the son of perdition in us in a grateful way. Because everything is based on grace. In a grateful way. Not fighting like hell against ourselves. Against the mortal within us. He isn't anybody, the mortal in us. And then John, who in his lovely way just shows really the man as a calculus of ideas. Then we come to the last column of science, where really it shows the signs of men, or we could say it shows how principle operates as the method of salvation. Here Paul sends out really Timothy and Titus into the world and gives them instruction, you see it against advanced science. He gives them instruction in the new teaching. The new teaching, he gives them the instruction, the science of men, and shows them how to go about in their field. How they go to, where did they go? To Malta or any of these islands, and shows them how if they keep to his teaching, if they keep to the teaching of Paul, that will really sustain them, 1 Timothy, that it will really protect them, 2 Timothy, and then in Titus, that it will promote them.
We have been considering that consciousness, which we call structural consciousness. May I just repeat how we arrived at that point? I said at the beginning of this week that most of our reasoning in science, in religion, and so on, was more an atomistic way of thinking about certain points, unconnected with any other point, without having a system of reference according to which any of these single ideas or thoughts could be measured and calculated. Then came that time when Mr. Dolly began to see that these ideas have a sequence, that there are certain definite sequence, and so we came to the linear way of thinking, where Mr. Dolly began to see for the first time in the days of creation a definite linear sequence of thought through the seven stages. Then he began to see them also in the third degree of the scientific translation of mortal mind, and so that they corroborate. He began to see them in the commandments, in the Beatitudes, in the Lord's Prayer. And finally, round about 1937-38, we studied there the synonymous terms and could see that the definition of God has also that linear concept of mind leading over spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, to its fulfillment in love. And so we could see that all these linear developments or sequences are a definite sequence which must exist in being, which are not just a philosophy of Mrs. Eddy or of Mr. Dorley. Then we began to realize that this sequence can be seen through the whole Bible at 1,000-year periods. We began to see later that the whole evolution goes through these 7 stages. Gordon Brown has shown that the whole civilization has gone through those 7 stages, and so on and so on. We could see that Jesus' life was going in Matthew through 7 stages, always that linear way, which gave us that law of creativity. Then, as we could see that clearly, then came a next step, which I call now a functional, I don't know if it's the right term, we called it at that time the blending of ideas, namely when we began to see that these ideas have not a sequence as we have seen them in the days of creation, that does only happen on the human plane, but not in being, that in being the days of creation are always numerals of infinity, they are always at the point of isness and nowness, that they have no time concept and therefore there can be no sequence, all that can be order. And so we begin to realize the order of the synonymous terms, and from that point on we begin to see how each idea could be combined with each other idea. That's the functional sense, the blending sense. Each idea can be combined and reflected by each other idea. We have made such exercises together in order to see when is an idea, only then when an idea is reflected by all other 7 synonymous terms, the ideas of the 7 synonymous terms, then it amounts to the value of being an idea. From there, there was a step forward then when we began to realize that these 7 are always operating through the 4 sides of the Holy City. That there is an operational sense behind those 7. And so we began to see the operational consciousness. The 4 operating as the 7. And we began to see that actually in the textbook Mrs. Eddy gives various orders of the 7 synonymous terms according to the operational value they have. The operational value of the word is in the recapitulation as the answer to the question, what is God? The operational value of the 7 as the Christ is on page 116, where Mrs. Eddy gives the translation, no more the definition, the translation of immortal mind. And then we saw the 3rd operational value of Christianity in the glossary, where Mrs. Eddy gives the spiritual concept of the biblical term God at the point of Christianity, showing God from the point of view of idea. And so we had that 3rd sense. Then the 4th developed as the 1st, then as the word. You remember how we saw that those 7 taken as a sequence, when viewed from the middle, when viewed from being, that they form that candlestick symbol, namely no more a sequence symbol, but a all-encompassing, all-combining, all-embracing state of being constituted of the 7 synonymous terms. So we had those 4 orders as the operational consciousness. Then we went further and began to see something of the structural consciousness. The moment we begin to realize that those four operations, those four sides of the Holy City had always three doors, we could see that the Bible wants to indicate that each side of the Holy City reflects each other side, so that we have a four times four concept of the Holy City. And so we arrived yesterday at this structural sense. You remember, I just put it down again, that those four sides of the Holy City, and we could see that each one reflecting the other, and we would get this matrix sense, fundamental matrix sense, four times four. Then we could see that, for instance, Mrs. Eddy would illustrate this fundamental four times four sense in the platform. She has there 32 points which she explains. That is twice 16, namely she explains each of these 16 points from two altitudes, from the altitude of absolute Christian Science and from Christian Science, or we could say from the subjective point perhaps and from the more objective or relative point. So here we had the platform as a first great indication, textual confirmation, that actually that Holy City is a four times four city. But then, as we went on, we began to realize that we cannot separate the four and the seven. This four times four city didn't take yet into consideration the seven as such. And so we began to realize that we must see something further, namely, if the definition of God is the four plus the seven, and that God cannot be divided up because he is one and infinite, that the seven and the four somehow must operate together. And so Mr. Dolly began to see that those four orders which we had in the operational sense, you know, that those four orders which we have now in the operational sense could be seen as going through a structure of the four times four, and so you got the matrix which you have on that little chart, in which are the synonymous terms. In each, the whole order goes through this synonymous term, you remember. So that here, Mr. Dolly gave us the word matrix, so to say, because this is the word, as Mrs. Eddy says, the north. So we got the word matrix, because it shows the seven, the word which is defined through the seven in its matrix form, and gave, therefore, the seven synonymous terms in the matrix form. Then, after quite a while, only about 12 years ago or 10 years ago, we began to see that also the Christ side had a matrix. And so we got here the Christ matrix, and we saw one of the great representation of the Christ matrix are the 16 prophets, because that prophetic age was pronouncing that in being there is a Christ, and that Christ is coming to Israel and will overturn and overturn all what needs to be overturned. Then, soon afterwards, we began to realize that there is a Christianity matrix, and we saw that the Christianity matrix, for instance, could be seen in the epistles. So we have the Christianity matrix. That's where we stopped yesterday. But naturally, there must be a science matrix,
because science is a foresight, and therefore we will find now also a science matrix like this.
So you can see how from a nucleus from here, see, from a nucleus everything expands like this, all sides. There is no finalizing sense in being. The moment we touch a new idea, that new idea spreads, asks and spreads out again to a further idea. So here we could see today now the science matrix, which is science and health. So we have the whole Bible somehow and the textbook combined, and this gives us the round picture of the matrix sense, or of the operational sense, sorry, of the structural sense. So let's take the last one, science, and we can see what we go just quickly through this science matrix. There's no use to take it slowly, because you have all this really already more or less in the books which we have written. Mr. Dolly has written a lot about the word matrix, which he just called matrix, but in which he explained the word matrix. Then the Christ matrix is in my books on the minor prophets. What we have done yesterday is a whole book which practically nobody has understood up to now. Then the Christianity, no, sure not. I will show you in 2-3 days that there are for us only 4 or 5 who have understood that book. You know, writing a book and reading a book doesn't mean that you understand the book. You can read a book 100 years and you don't understand it, and you think you have understood it, that's the trouble. I show you that. And then the Christianity matrix, which we have been taking yesterday, namely the epistles, and that is in my book on the epistles. It looks as if I'm going to sell my book here. The science matrix is the structure of the Christian Science textbook, which I had written around about 1951 or 2. You see, before the Christ matrix and the Christianity matrix. It didn't come in an ordered way. That's something which we have to remember, that sometimes a revelation comes just here and there, and only afterwards we can somehow coordinate that revelation. If you think what we have been doing with the Christ matrix, and have taken those prophets in an order, the 12 minor prophets in the order as they are in the Bible, but they were not written chronologically in that order. The prophets, starting from Hosea, and then Joel, Amos, and so on, were not written chronologically in that order. Those prophets did not come one after the other in that chronological sequence. They came in quite a complete different sequence. But the compiler of the Bible, they were the big boys, the compiler of the Bibles, they took these prophets and put them in the order as they are now. They're in the, what you call it, the Septuaginta? Septuagint? That's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Has the order of the prophets still in the old order. What we have is the order which perhaps round about 300-350 a school of prophets, a school of thinkers which are unknown, have canonized in this order. They didn't appear in this order. So we can see that the great work is not always those who have written it, but those who could take the various stones and put it in the right place and make from individual revelation a structure.
Now, the same thing is true about the Christianity matrix. Those epistles have not been written in the order as we have them in the Bible. Not at all. Later, round about, I think, I don't know exactly, but I think it was in the 2nd century A.D. that they were put into this order as we have it today. So again, you see, Revelation does not appear in its, right from the beginning, always in its ordered way. The work that is done about the Revelation, about revelations, the many revelations, the many prophets, the many epistles, they have be digested and digested just as we have had a lot of ideas and read a lot of things in the textbook, and now we come and put them together and coordinate them and see the structure of them. The same thing is true about the textbook. You know that Mrs. Eddy has now left us a textbook with 16 chapters, but she did not write those 16 chapters in the order as we have it right from the beginning. The order of the chapters were very different. At the beginning she had only a few chapters, and only little by little, as she went on, she wrote more chapters, until she wrote the last chapter in 1891, but not in the order as we have it now. Only after 1901 she began to change it, and only in 1891 she wrote the last chapter. And then she began to change the order of the chapter in 1902 in the order as we have them now. Can you see what she was doing? She was also trying to see her revelation, and then to realize there must be a structure about all these chapters, and began to change just the sequence of the chapters until she had it in the structure as it is here now. So actually, the first matrix that we saw after John Dolittle's fundamental matrix was the science matrix, and only afterwards the Christ matrix and the Christianity matrix. And in a way it's quite interesting perhaps for you to know how interesting that was, because what we are going to take now, the science matrix or the textbook matrix, is not something which we have thought out, but something which was revealed. This is always a great point. You see, I see the great danger in the students of our line of Christian Science, because they begin to see something about linear ways, about structural ways, about orders, that they want to find their concept of science anywhere they look, not realizing that always we have a limited sense of the science, and therefore we'll always be tempted to put a finite sense, a limited sense in any text, instead of always approaching any revealed text like the Bible and the textbook with a sense, I don't know. I don't know. Let it reveal itself to me. And so the temptation would have been, once we have seen that the matrix is a 16-fold presentation, that we could say, well, if the textbook has 16 chapters, then naturally it must be a matrix. That's a temptation. And I could say from all my heart, I resisted that temptation for 3 years. For 3 years. I knew that something must be in the textbook. I knew 3 years before that we had a matrix of 16, and it would have been a very easy thing to say, well, then the 16th chapter must be. And I hesitated and hesitated, and I listed it consciously. And I never did any work to try to see the textbook in its matrix. Never. Until, funny enough, one time I was awaiting a patient at a certain
appointment, 4:30 in the afternoon, and the patient didn't turn up. I took just to get the half hour over until the next appointment. I took the textbook in my hand, and in one go, I saw the whole matrix. And afterwards, I just had to elaborate and elaborate it. Just was pouring on me. And it was so definite and so clear that there was no more doubt about it. I didn't study it. I didn't make it fit. I distrust every student of the Dolly line who tells me it fits wonderfully. I mistrust it. It may fit. But in 95%, it does not fit. It's their own concept which makes it fit. Unless something comes to us as a revelation, it's not worth tuppence. 2 cents, sorry. It's not worth 2 cents. Therefore, the main thing is, can we culture ourselves to be so receptive that when the light breaks, it breaks, and we know that it breaks, and we know that we know. And actually, to see that, how we can prepare ourselves for that revelation, that is a subject which will take a few days later. But I just want you to assure, because I have written this book, I want you to assure that this is not made up, that I did not force it, that I did not want it to fit. I waited 3 years, because one of the interesting things was that when I have seen this science matrix and I have put out the book on the structure of the Christian Science textbook, then a few years afterwards I went to London and began to give weekend talks every 2 months on the detailed structure of the textbook. I would take about 3 or 4 whole weekends just to go through the chapter on prayer, and a few weekends to go through the chapter on atonement and Eucharist. And it took me over 2 years to come to the 5th chapter, Animal Magnetism Unmasked, one of the most enormous and powerful statements that I think I have ever given on that subject. And then I couldn't go on anymore in London. Something in me just said, finished, don't go anymore, stop it. Everybody said, well, why don't you come anymore? It was so wonderful, this textbook. And I said, I just can't anymore. And I had a feeling, because I came to science, theology, and medicine, to that last chapter which Mrs. Eddy wrote, which was now giving the full sense of the Christ. You see, you have here the Christ as the Christ in its own office. I just felt I couldn't give that chapter in the way I've been teaching the other chapters until I have a warm sense of the whole Christ. And so I dropped those lectures, and about 3 years later, or 2 years later, I studied by chance the prophet. It wasn't really chance. See, what happened was really this, that when I gave this 5th chapter on Animal Magnetism Unmasked, at that point where the Christ starts, the Christ is the Word, and that Christ starts, I could see that this chapter corresponds very much with Joel, with the small prophet Joel. And the relations of those two chapters are quite amazing. And I had given in that last talk on animal magnetism this corroboration with Joel. And when I stopped, I was thinking, oh, Joel, he was a jolly fine prophet. I wonder what the other prophets are saying, because I must confess to you that I never read the Bible prophets before.